What's happening, guys? This is Derek. Thank you for joining us on the podcast today. We're going to be looking at how God is both personal and communal, how he loves to have this intimate relationship with us, but at the same time, he invites us to know him through community. And I love how Jesus teaches us to pray, Matthew chapter 6. First, he says, go in the secret place, go in the prayer closet, and pray when nobody else is around. And I love that. That's a personal connection with the Lord. But then the next part of his lesson, he says, when you pray, pray like this, Our Father. He teaches us to actually pray in community, to be in community. And so I just want you to know, man, God wants to personally know. He wants to be in relationship with you, but at the same time, he wants us to be in relationship with others, to learn things about God that we can't learn all by ourselves. So today, man, I hope you get something from this. I hope personally it hits you, but also I would encourage you to build some community. Maybe send this podcast to somebody else and have a conversation with it. God wants to know you personally and through community. Enjoy.
Yeah, we join with heaven this morning and we say, worthy is the Lamb. Holy is the Lamb. The one that was slain, the one who laid his life down. Scriptures tell us that the one who laid his life down, he was given the name above every other name, Jesus. So Lord, today we do say hallelujah. We boast in your name. We celebrate your name. We praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We ask as we continue, setting our eyes on you, Holy Spirit, that you would lead us into truth, Lord, that sets us free, that gives us courage, that strengthens us, that stirs us up for love and good deeds. Thank you for this community. Thank you for what you're doing in our midst. We honor you and your presence here. And everybody said today, amen, amen, amen. Man, it is so good to be with you. I know we got some guests here, so welcome to our guest. As I said, our prayer is that we would be a people that recognizes presence individually and on our day-to-day lives, but especially as we gather together, we would recognize God. And so we pray that, but we also pray that you feel really welcomed here. You know, that's what I hear. One of the things I hear in our community so often is when somebody steps foot on our church property, comes in our church, they say, man, I felt so welcome like that. I didn't feel condemned. I didn't feel judged. I felt like you were actually excited and you were thankful that I was here. Has anybody else experienced that at this church before? Like, I'm so grateful for that. And with that is I think, an expression of the kingdom of God. When somebody comes in and they're welcome wherever they're at, whatever they're struggling with, whatever doubt they have, whatever their background is, to come to a place where they said, hey, you're welcome here. Doesn't that sound like Jesus, right? Doesn't that sound like, wow, like that's the kingdom of God. And in a few weeks, believe it or not, like we are gonna be gathered here and it's gonna be Easter. I know, isn't it crazy? And on Easter, how many of you, a lot of people are willing more than ever to say, man, I would love to hear a little bit more about Jesus, right? And a lot of pastors will get on the stage and they'll be super critical and condemning of people that show up. I think they call them the C&E Christians. I think that's called, right, Christmas and Easter, you know? But I want you to know, and I just want you to think about that, like what kind of people condemn people that show up and are seeking truth? How many of you know it takes one look at Jesus and it can change your whole life? So instead of condemning, instead of like, oh man, there's people gonna come out of the woods, it's like, yes, people are searching for truth and some of them are gonna land at Christ Fellowship on Easter. How many of you get excited about that, right? And so here's what I wanna ask you. Because of that, we've got a lot more people that are gonna show up on Easter Sunday and we have limited capacity. And so what we do is we add another gathering. So here you're hearing this for the first time. Sunday, April 9th, we've got three gatherings. So 8:30, 10:30, 12:30. So if you show up at 11, you're either late or early, you're not on time, all right? So 8:30, 10:30, and 12:30. And what we ask our community to do, the people that are part of this church, is we ask you to RSVP. And that may sound super weird, if you know, depending on your background, but the reason why we do that is because we want to have a place for visitors that come. And so we're really, RSVP helps us spread our normal people across three gatherings pretty evenly so that there's seats available for somebody to encounter the presence of God, maybe for the first time. And so we ask you to go on our website. It's live right now. You can go ahead and sign yourself up, your family. If you got a crew of people that are coming, you can RSVP. I would encourage you to either go to the 8:30 or the 12:30. Most people, they're like, hey, I want to try church or I want to see what's, you know, going on. They'll probably come to the 10:30. And so you being here may actually keep a seat from somebody else. And so we want you here. We love you. But I would love for you to be at the 8:30 or the 12:30. And so I would ask you to prayerfully consider that, to make some space for some people. You can go on the website, like I said, do that. It'll be an incredible time as we gather together, we make much of Jesus, and we enjoy him. In addition to that, let me throw one more little teaser out there. One of my favorite gatherings that we have every year is Good Friday. And Good Friday is the time where we sit in the reality that before there was ever a resurrection, there was a brutal killing of Jesus on a cross. And sometimes in our Western world, we rush so fast past that, and we want to get to the celebration. Woohoo, Jesus King! But we forget that the Lion of the King of Judah that reigns had to become the lamb that was slain first. And so I think it's really good to have a faith that's not just mountaintop, but actually is willing to embrace and sit in the valley. Like, I think in this season, we need people that are able to see Jesus, see God himself in both. And so on that Good Friday, the Friday before Easter, we're going to open up the doors from 6:30 to 8:30 at the church. We're not going to have a typical, you know, music and a message. We're going to have what we're calling an immersive experience that's self-guided. We're going to have different areas all throughout this room, down this hallway, as you enter in the back here. And it's going to be a way for us to have a self-guided. So if you have 20 minutes, great. If you have an hour and a half and want to just really sit with the Lord and meditate upon the cross and reflect on the cross, you can do that. But there's going to be stations that you can go through, all of which point us to sit in the reality that Christ was a human that really died for us. And so I want to encourage you to make plans, to make a schedule change if you need to. Invite your friends. It's a community wide open. But from 6:30 to 8:30, we're going to be here on that Good Friday, and we're going to really press in and sit with the Lord and the reality that death precedes resurrection. And so I want to encourage you to be here for that. Today, I want to continue this series that I've heard, man, so many great conversations. I've had lots of great conversations. It's both and. And we've been looking at topics about God, his character, who he is, about our faith that are both and, that it's this thing and it's this thing, and the two things seem like they're at odds, or it feels like there's tension. And so we've looked at all kinds of things. Last week, we talked about how Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, but he's also the lamb that was slain, and that tension that we feel in that. And today, what I want to look at, and I think it's really critical for our community, is I want us to look at how God is both personal and communal. How God is both personal and he's communal. I think in the West, in our Western culture, we have really highlighted the personal component of God, right? You need to ask Jesus into your life to be your what? Personal savior, right? You need to have this personal. And you see, you know, SUVs with bumper stickers. If you have one, it's great. But it says, and I love this, it says, relationship over what? Religion. Some of you read car bumpers. Some of you don't, but right? So relationship over religion. How many of you know that's beautiful, right? How many of you, that's really what we see in the scriptures, right? It's this personal invitation to this God that is huge, that's everywhere, and nowhere we can outrun him, nowhere we can go where he's not. And yet this God wants to personally know you and I. It's mind-blowing. And the scripture points this time and time again. The psalmist writes so beautifully about this. He says this in Psalm 139. Your eyes, God, they saw my unformed substance. Before I was ever born, you saw me. And your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. Like, how personal and intimate is God that he knows you before you're ever born? Deeply intimate. Or we read the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 10. He says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the Father, but even the hairs of your head are numbered. Fear not. Why? Because of what he just said. Therefore, you are more valuable than the sparrows. So not only does God know us spiritually, like does he know our identity before we're ever born? He created us, by the way, so even before we're conceived and brought into the world, God knows us deeply and intimately. But also here it says God knows us physically. He knows our physical bodies, our physical limitations, everything about us. But it didn't stop there. We read this, the Psalm 56 says this, you have kept count of my tossings. You put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? So not only is God intimately, personally knowing us, spiritually, physically, but also emotionally. Like today, maybe you just need to hear God understands and sees your pain. He understands and he sees your sorrow and your joy, both in tension. He personally knows us. The whole scriptures are filled with time and time again, us pointing to this God that is everywhere, but yet he sees you and I, like this personal, intimate God. And what we love about God is that he's intimately aware of our unique design. Like he knows everything about us. And I think it's so funny, especially as Western Christians, we so want to like put on this front to look a certain way. We look a certain way to people. You know, I'm blessed and highly favored the Lord. When I'm like dying inside, I say this to like keep you at a distance. But that doesn't stop there. Oftentimes we try to play that game with the Lord. And I just want you to hear this today. God is intimately aware of your shortcomings more than you are, and yet he still desires you. He knows every flaw. He knows every doubt, every question, every thought, and that'll freak us out. But he knows all of it, and yet he still says, I choose you. I want you. I desire you. That's an intimate God. And then that God who intimately knows us, who personally knows, he shows up. I love it. The God that's everywhere shows up on the earth as Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus Christ himself, and he walks the earth and he models what it looks like to know God personally. That God knew him, he knew the Father, he personally had this connection. That's why he would leave the crowds. He would have the crowds and everybody's like cheering, make him king, and he's like, guys, we gotta get out of here. They're like, no, we're getting ready to like do something. He's like, no, we gotta leave and I'm gonna go up on this mountain, I'm gonna pray on that line by myself. Jesus understood the value of a personal one-on-one connection with the Lord. And that's why he taught us to pray in Matthew 6. If you have your Bible, you can open up there, Matthew chapter 6. It's the Sermon on the Mount, this beautiful teaching that Jesus gives. In the midst of this, he speaks into this personal component to God and our faith in God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 and 6. He's teaching. They come to him and say, man, teach us to pray. How do we pray? And so Jesus begins to teach them to pray. He says, when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. Now, let me just remind you here. He is not saying that it's wrong to pray with other people around you. He's saying that it's wrong to pray in the midst of other people if your objective is to get noticed. It's not a minor miss. So he said, don't be like the hypocrites. They're trying to be seen. They're trying to look super spiritual or listen. They're trying to gain control. Be careful. Don't be like those people. He says, truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. They've already got it. You think great of them? Guess what? That's all they're getting. He says, but when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. That sounds like personal, doesn't it? That sounds like intimacy. He says, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. God is personal, intimately knowledgeable about us. And the way that he knows us is the way that he longs to be for us to know him. All the things that I said about God knows about you, he longs for us to know those things about him. He's personal. And what I've learned in my own life is that there are depths of God that can only be revealed in the secret place with God. There are things that we learn about God. There's revelations of God. There's a depth of faith that goes down that can't be learned from a platform, that can't be learned from your favorite podcast, that can't be learned from the top 100 books on whatever, fill in the blank. There are things that you cannot learn from anywhere in any place other than your personal connection with God. That may look like praying. Oh my goodness, yes, it does look like praying. It means looking, stepping away from the world and getting connected to God. And what is prayer? We make it a lot of things, but here's what it is. It's a conversation, two-way between humanity and God. And so I pour out my heart and then I say, Lord, what do you think? There's so much value for our faith when we have that intimate connection. It means to be in silence. Sometimes we just need to sit still and to listen. Sometimes this intimate personal relationship looks like solitude. Sometimes it looks like yelling and screaming at God. There've been times in different situations that I've been known by myself in my car to be driving down the road and I'm screaming at the top of my lungs at God. Don't judge me when you see me do that, right? I've not lost my mind. I'm actually probably more like the psalmist David than I ever am any other time in my life. God, where are you? God, I felt like you said this and now I'm doing this and it feels like you've totally abandoned me. God, why are my kids doing this? Not that I ever said that, but why in the world would my kids do this? Why is my spouse, don't be going there. But God, why don't people get it? Why can't I, where's your favor? You say your favor will follow me. Where is your favor? I feel like I'm unfavored. This is a personal relationship with God. It's not just, God, I love you, you're great, you're awesome, you're amazing, and trying to like appease him. No, it's like, God, here's what's true. And then when I throw that at God, it's like, God, what do you say? What am I missing? What perspective am I lacking? What do you want to show me that's true that'll lead me into freedom? See, there's things about God that we can only learn with a personal relationship when nobody else is around, the depth of his love, the voice of God. Listen, you can learn from so many places, but there's this beautiful thing that happens when we learn to hear God on our own. It's one of the hearts of our church to help every individual begin to hear the voice of God, to recognize the God who's been speaking from the very beginning of your life. So there's things that we can only learn in the quiet place, in the secret place, in the place with God. But at the same time, what I've learned is there are depths of God that can only be revealed in community with others as well. So yeah, the secret place, man, get some time away with the Lord this week. Man, have a conversation, write down, journal, listen to the Lord, have a conversation, go for a walk, do all those things. But there's also things that we've got to recognize. It's not just for me to learn about God in my own. How many of you know it's much easier to theorize loving God when I'm around nobody else? It's so much easier to love God. It's so much easier. Here's what's really easy. It's easy for me to love other people when I'm the only person in the room. And so there's depths about our faith. There's depths about what God wants to give to me and speak to me and you and how he wants to reveal himself that can't be done in a closet. I love the closet, but I'm telling you were never meant to have a faith that stayed in the closet. Your faith is actually meant to be in community, to be fleshed out, to be lived out, to be fine-tuned, sharpening iron. And I've told you this before, but the people in my life have taught me so much about Jesus. My wife, oh my goodness, what a saint. Like she's taught me depths of forgiveness and grace that a book or a podcast could never teach me. The times where I've let her down, the times that I've hurt her, and her willingness to extend grace and mercy, there's no one else on this earth that's revealed Jesus to me like she has, experientially. There's been men and women in my life that have come alongside of me. Men, I don't have a seminary background. I've never gone to school to be a pastor or whatever that is. But I've had men and women in the scriptures and the Holy Spirit that have helped come around me to teach me the things of God, the ways of God, the theology of how do we view God? How do we view the word? How do we see this thing live? I'm a recipient of so many people. And I'm guessing you are also a recipient that you've learned things about God through teachers. Anybody else learn things about God through teachers? Thank God for teachers, right? How about coaches? Maybe you learned how to say a few four-letter words from coaches, but you've also learned some valuable lessons about the kingdom, probably, whether they knew it or not, from coaches. See, there's this component that the things we learn are not all just in the closet. We're actually called to learn in community, that our faith really is both personal and communal. And that makes sense because we're made in the image of a God that is community. He's perfect community. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, ever existing before the creation of the world. There was Father, Son, Holy Spirit in this perfect communion. And then along the way, Jesus comes and he opens up the way for us to be invited into that divine dance. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, humanity. The way it was supposed to be from the very beginning. Community. And that's why Jesus here, he says, listen, get in your closet. Don't go out and pray in front of people just to be noticed. And then he goes on and says, but this is how you should pray. Very interesting. So get in your closet, pray by yourself. But then he says, this is how you should pray. And if you've ever played football, you've taken a knee before the game and you've prayed this prayer. How's it begin? Our. Oh, not my? You mean it's not just the Western personal Jesus that fits in my pocket? No, no, no. Our Father. In heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on the earth in the tri-cities as it is in heaven. Give who? Us, not me, give us our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive the debts of others. Lead us, y'all are picking up, you're really smart. Us, not into temptation, but deliver, almost, let's get a little loud, let's get a crescendo. But deliver us from evil. Jesus says, man, get in your closet, pray. Personal encounter, intimacy with the Lord. But then he says, this is how I want you to pray. In community, our Father. Our Father, this relationship that we're somehow connected. And this makes sense because this is our faith. It's both intimate, personal, but it's also communal. That's what we see in 1 John 4. It says, we love because he first loved us. That's a personal encounter. You've got to have a personal encounter. You can't live on the encounter of somebody else. So you need to hear that. You can't live off of my encounters with the Lord. It won't sustain you. It'll encourage you. It'll say, let's go another day, but it will not sustain you. You and I, we've got to experience the love of God first. And if anyone says, I love God, and yet he hates his brother and sister, I know we'd never do that. If he does that, I'm not saying this. This is what the scriptures are saying. That person that said, I love God, and yet I'm hating someone who's made in his image, guess what? He's a liar. Whew. We could just stop there today. We'd end on a great note, right? Like we can come to church, man, I love God. God, you reign, woohoo, yes. And then if I go out of here and I hate somebody who's made in God's image, guess what? I've been lying the whole time. Because he says, how can you say you love a God that you can't see if you don't love the people in your life that you can see? Once again, it's so much easier to live this thing out in a closet somewhere. But the closet is unto community. Fleshing it out. Learning to receive his love and give it away. That's why the greatest commandment is this, love God. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength. And in order to do that, the scriptures say we first gotta receive the love of God. That's personal. But then that is then to overflow to loving others as ourselves. Guess what that is? Community, communal. Our faith is not merely personal. It's communal. Now, I'm not gonna give the guys a heads up. I'm not gonna read all that 1 Corinthians passage, but if you have your Bible, you can flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The whole chapter is magnificent, great theology, really has jacked up the church in a lot of ways in the way we argue about this passage. It's beautiful though. And in verse 12, Paul is writing to the church of Corinth. He says, for just as the body is one and has many members, all of the members of the body, though many are one body, so as in Christ. So he says, all of us are individual members. Guess what that is? Personal. And all these individual, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, all the individual members make up the body, which is what? Community, communal. And I love how if we get down to the verse 25, he says, this is what's happening. He says that there may be no division in the body or in the church. How many of you know that's God's desire? There's no division in the church. Nobody amen to that. How many of you know God's desire is that there's no division, not only in the local church, but in the church, right? He said, I want that. And he says this in verse 25, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ. Let me tell you, Christ fellow, you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. So guess what? Community, personal. Community, personal. We are the body, but guess what? You are a member of the body. Am I being redundant enough today? Personal, communal. And so this truth here is beautiful. If one suffers, guess what? That's individual, that's personal. We all suffer. The body does, the church. If one is honored, we all are honored, and guess what we do? We all rejoice. See, what I love about God is there is a God-designed connectedness within community. There is a God-designed connectedness in community. And don't you love that God is kind of sneaky? Anybody else recognize that God is kind of sneaky? Like, he's so sneaky in how this works. Like, even in this chapter, which talks about the spiritual gifts, like, the spiritual gifts are one of God's sneaky, like, ranger recon machine, like, how to get us to actually be a body. And so he says, listen, if you're sick, don't just pray by yourself. Can you do that? Of course you can. But he says, what do? Go to somebody and have them pray for you. Guess what he's sneakily doing? Community. Oh. If you need confirmation for somebody, man, I'm praying, Lord, about this thing in my life, I gotta do this or whatnot. And what the Lord does, he's so sneaky. The thing that I need, the confirmation that I need, he'll go and put it in Gary. Isn't that so weird? I'm praying for something, Gary receives that. You know what that's called? Prophecy. Guess what I need? I need Gary to receive that. Do you see how sneaky God is? Like, all of these gifts are unto being one, being community. It's how God works. It's beautiful. It's all unto that. It's his personal encounters that lead to community. This is the God that we have. And then we read a passage about this connectedness, Colossians 1. And this is going to be one of the last passages I hit today. I love the first chapter of Colossians, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. Colossians chapter 1 says this, for by Jesus, all things were created. In heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. Look at verse 17. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. All things hold together through Christ. You know what that's a picture of? It's a picture of connectedness. See, in our culture, in our world, the predominant worldview is one of separation. We see this all over the place, right? Separation, you know, we have secular and we have faith. Keep them separate. We've got like our Sunday faith, and then we've got our Wednesday not so much Sunday faith. I can treat these people this way because they vote like me. But the people that don't vote like me, man, that doesn't apply to them. Like when Jesus said, like, if you don't love your brother, oh, that doesn't apply to them. That only applies to people that think like me. Come on, don't say amen. Thank you for that. Like, we live in a separate, and it's interesting that the ruler of this world, the enemy, right, is still lurking around, that he would work through the systems of this world to bring about this kind of separation. And so we have things like religion. How many of you know religion, when it's not pure and undefiled of the Lord, like James says, when it's not pure religion, guess what it does? War. And guess what war is? Separation. So religion has brought a lot of separation. And the enemy is behind it more than we like to know. We guys it, we want to put spiritual Christian language on it, but a lot of times it's the enemy. You know what else it is the enemy is playing? Politics. And I talk about this all the time. But listen, we need to be wise, right? We need to be aware that politics, the nature of politics is let's get you to hate somebody else, and then we'll control you to vote the way I want you to vote. It's all divide and conquer. It's all that way. And the enemy of your soul, he wants to bring division into your life. He wants to bring division even down deep in your soul. Separateness here, separateness out here. But we have a God that says, no, Derek, I hold it all together. Everything is held together in Christ. And so Christ offers this other worldview, this worldview that he's inviting us to live in, and that's the worldview of connectedness. That God is in all things, that he's working, that he's not absent in any area in any person's life, that what he says here, what happens to me actually impacts other people. The experiences I have, the pain, the hurt, the joy, the victory, they actually impact our community. This is what Paul is trying to describe in this letter. And I happened upon this beautiful article that I think puts it so well. He says this, he said, everything is connected. No one is alone in this world. No act is without consequence for another. Think about that. No act is of no consequence to another. It is a tenet of chaos theory that in dynamic systems, the outcome of a process is sensitive to its starting point. How a thing ends up is impacted by how the thing started. And then he says this, or as the famous cliche says, the flap of a butterfly's wings in the Amazon can cause a tornado in Texas. Don't you love when philosophy and science are like, hey guys, the world, we've got a new idea. The world is connected more than we can ever have. And we're like, yeah, that's what God said from the very beginning. The world's connected. What you experience impacts how I experience life. We all actually are connected through God. This is the God that is communal. He's also personal, but he's communal. All things are connected. And all of this is leading to this beautiful crescendo at the end. And this is where it's heading to. I think we need to begin with the end in mind. And so this is Revelation 7. I'm going to read it to you. It's a picture of where we're all headed, the direction of this whole thing. So John is once again having this revelation, this vision of God. And this is what he says in chapter 7. He says, after this, I looked and behold, a great multitude that no one could number. From every nation, just stop right there. Can we just think about this, meditate upon this vision that he's having? Like he's seeing a group of people that nobody can number. And in that group of people is not everybody that looks the same, talks the same, votes the same, thinks the same. No, he said it's somebody, this group of people is from every nation, from all tribes. Oh, and that gets you excited, all tribes. I would say also in this context of our Bible Belt, all denominations. All tribes, all people, and all languages. Vast diversity, all connected, and this is how they're connected. They're standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hand, and this is what they're crying out with a loud voice. You know what that is? One voice. Community, connection, God. All of us personal, all unto us being united, being one. And this is what they're saying. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. This God that we have, man, is so personal. Man, he knows everything about you, everything you're struggling with, everything that you've dealt with, the decisions you're making, the situation, he knows it all about you. And yet he says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to be in community and learn how to live this thing out. I want to give you a warning label on this message today. Living in community, it can be very detrimental. It can be really painful. Getting close to people and loving people is probably the bravest thing you could do on the earth. Because guess what? People can be really mean and can be really cruel. And so I'm putting this warning label. Listen, if you live this out, it may come with some pain, but I'm telling you, the love and the purpose you find will never be found just sitting on your own by yourself. And I say that because what did Jesus do? Man, he had the wisest understanding, the depth of all, and what did he do? He entrusted himself to community. And what did community do? We killed him. He knew it, and yet he didn't know it because why? It was worth it. It was worth it. So this morning, I want to end by just taking a few moments to meditate on this reality, this tension that God is personal, but at the same time, he's also communal. And so I just want you to maybe close your eyes, if that helps with distractions, for just a moment. let's just take a second. And I don't know what your journey is with the Lord. I don't know what your view of Jesus is, what your experience has been with Jesus. Maybe today you're just searching, you're looking for some truth, some hope. But today, let's just take a moment and let's, if you've experienced God personally, can you just take a moment and thank God that he met you where you were at, whenever that was? That he personally knows you, he knows your victories, he knows your struggles, and yet he still says, I want all of you, come on, come on. So just all around the room, just begin to tell the Lord thank you that he is personal, he intimately knows you and he wants to be known by you. Or some of the room, you're like, man, I don't know God that way. Then today is an amazing day because there's not a special thing you gotta say. It's not anything special. Here's what we need to do. If you're like, man, I wanna know God personally, it's just say, God, I wanna know you. I wanna know you. And so today, if you're like, man, I don't have that kind of relationship, it's that easy saying, God, I wanna know who you are. I wanna be set free. I wanna be alive. And so Lord, I recognize, man, that you've laid your life down, Jesus, and that I just have to receive the gift of grace and mercy. And so Lord, I wanted the gift that's been there all along. Today, I wanna receive and I wanna walk in it. He said, I've come to give you life. Life abundant. Today, for some of us in the room, you just need to say, Lord, I want to experience life. I want to walk with you. I want to hear your voice. I want to see who you are. So Lord, would you just, this week, would you remind us of how intimately aware and how close you are to each and every one of us? I love that even the scriptures say that in you we move and live and have our being, that even for those that seem like they have no understanding or awareness of God, that you're still just as close. And your desire that they would reach out and they would grasp you. And so Lord, may we just have an awareness of you and your personal, intimate nearness this week. And the same way we take a moment now before we leave out of this place and we set our mind on the fact that you are a God of community, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We could just meditate on that the rest of the day and our minds would explode to think about that. But this reality that he said the greatest commandment is to love God, be loved to love God, and then to love others as ourselves. And so it was never meant to just be a personal, it was meant to flow out into the community. And so Lord, as we sit here today as a community of that are brought together under the name of Christ Fellowship, that are brought together by the presence of God, Lord, we want to recognize you more in other people. We want to be people that see the fingerprint of God in all kinds of people, the people we love and agree with, but also the people that appear to be our enemies, the people that disagree with us. So let's just ask the Lord, collectively but personally, for just a picture of what community would look like this week to flesh out his love. So Lord, we know that we're not gonna be a people that just gather in a room and try to seclude ourselves from the world, but we're a people that gather in order to scatter. And so we're gonna go a lot of places this week. So Lord, would you give us an idea? Would you give us some encouragement, a vision, even right now, of what it would look like for us to partner with you? To extend forgiveness and mercy, to be generous with somebody in need, to be present with somebody who's going through a hard time, to see somebody who feels like they're never seen, to speak life into somebody who's struggling with depression, to speak encouragement into somebody's life that's dealing with darkness. Lord, you've called us your salt and your light, and so we want to not be hidden, but to go and reveal and to be witnesses of what we've experienced, this personal, intimate God who's also communal. So we bless you, Father. We bless you, Son. We bless you, Holy Spirit. I thank you for each person that's here this morning. My goodness, and the journeys that we're on. I thank you that you're in the midst of all of it. You're connected in it all together. And we say we trust you, Lord, as we leave this place today. Amen. We're gonna have our ministry team up here this morning. As always, if you need any prayer whatsoever, you can come forward and we would love to pray in community. I love that's one of the things that God does it in community. He's like, man, if you're sick, man, go to somebody else and get prayer. So if today, if you have some sickness in your body, disease, hurt, pain, we would love to pray in community with you. But even as I mentioned early on, like if you have some emotional things going on, you're like, man, I would love to be prayed for. Relationally, we would love to pray for you. Man, there's something about praying in community with somebody. I don't know why the Lord, but he loves it, right? So if that hits you today, man, we would love to pray with you. If you have any questions about walking with Jesus, we obviously would love to answer any questions you have for that. We love you guys. We're grateful for you. Let's go extend and establish his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. God bless you guys.